give everybody just a moment to press that one so that we don't lose you, and glad that you're here with us this evening. Welcome to Tuesday night. Great opportunity for us to meet once a week and celebrate life and take on our challenges and learn how to maximize our strengths. I've been looking forward to this call all week. We just barely got started last week talking about connecting with people and the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Og tells us in scroll number 2, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. He says the greatest secret of success in all ventures, is to greet this day with love in our heart. It's a very special kind of love. We talked a little bit about that last week, and we'll talk a little bit more about it this evening. Want to welcome everybody who's here with us this evening, especially those who are guests with us. We do hope that this will be a great experience for you. Pull out a pen and a paper and take lots of notes. I'm going to take just a moment to review what we discussed last week and then carry us a little deeper into the topic of connecting with people. Now, we have this on mute, but it's on a special kind of mute. If you have a question or need clarification or make a comment, just press *6 and just say, Dave, 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 and when you'll know that I've heard you when I call on you, acknowledge that you're on the line, and then ask your question. This coaching call is for you. We have a lot of people on the call, but this is just for you. I have been thinking about you this afternoon. What is it that you need to know? How can I serve you? So this call is for you. When we take on this very first quality, connecting with people, we know that people hold back 40%, on average, 40% of their cooperation and productivity until they have been valued as a human being. That means that they've been appropriately recognized for their contributions, for their goodness. They've actually been noticed. Somebody's actually paid attention to them. It's called intrinsic validation. When we intrinsically validate someone, their walls can come down. We've created a safe place. And all of this cooperation and productivity that's dammed back, it's held back, this reserve comes pouring out to us. We get to be the beneficiaries when we learn how to connect with people. Now, if we hold back 40% of our cooperation and productivity, the question is, what happens when it's no longer a non-adversarial relationship and it's no longer relatively stress-free? It was in that environment that Dr. Hartman did his measurement. If all of a sudden we're in a place where there's a lot of stress and a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety, could you just feel that wall going up higher and higher and holding back more and more of our cooperation? We know that in many workplaces right now, the stress levels are so high because Sally, who was here yesterday, isn't here today. She's been laid off, and she's been here longer than I've been here. Am I next? And nobody's saying anything. Or we're not getting clear direction, or we're not getting instructions to guide us. We don't know really where the company's head. Is it going to be in business next month? On top of that, maybe our spouse or companion has been laid off from work, and we need two incomes to support our family, and now we only have one. What happens if our mortgage is underwater and the house is worth less than what we owe on it and we're behind a month? Do we keep it? Do we let it go? Do we ruin our credit? What decisions do we make? All of these thought processes being thrown into a mix of unbalanced thought processes. That's why we've had everybody take the assessment. How we think impacts how we act, because we introduce all of these thought processes to our thought processes. How we're going to handle that thought process. Do we just react? Do we get angry? Do we get depressed? Do we get frustrated? What do we do because of the way we're thinking? And we look at work environments today and we wonder, wow, with this kind of stress, how can anybody be focused on the task at hand? And the truth is, few are. Physically present, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, somewhere else, trying to solve these unsolvable problems. Now we come home from the workplace, and we're physically present, but our mind and our spirit, if you will, is somewhere else. not really present anywhere we go because we're so consumed with sabotaging thought processes. That's just the reality of where we are today. There has never been a time in the history that I can remember. I'm 57 years old. I cannot remember a time when we needed more the ability to get outside of our own wall, outside of our own fears and frustrations, and focus on the needs of another person. I mentioned this last week. We'd be less concerned about what people think about us if we knew how little they actually do. Everybody's consumed with themselves. Hogg's words, I was reading this week, Better Way to Live. Just a great book. The first 55 pages gives a detailed description of Hogg's life. Hogg is talking about in the time in which we live, where everybody wants to do it easy and nobody wants any stress or pain. And he wrote this in 1990, 20 years ago, and it sounds like it was written yesterday. If you haven't had a chance to read that book, go grab it. It's a quick read. Just a couple nights, and you can blast through it. Some of you will do it in an hour or two. A better way to live. We are living in a time when, yeah, what he was saying then was serious. Now it's critical. Now it is critical. It's critical for employers and managers and executives and even team members and companions and parents to learn this skill of how to get outside of their own stuff and show up for someone else. This truly is a great secret. It's a great secret because there are few that find it. Few that find it. Oh, we give lip service to it. We sometimes pretend it. But when we're teaching intrinsic validation, we are teaching it for real. And when we learn these principles and we practice them, something almost magic occurs. I've been pondering an experience I had last night. We rented a property to literally a mad scientist. He wouldn't mind if I called him that. He invited me over last night on the way home from the office because he wanted to show me a propeller that creates twice the thrust for a boat at half the fuel expense. It's pretty remarkable. We got done going through the drawings and the casting and talking about the math and how it was configured. And I'm thinking, well, I've got a son who's got a PhD in mechanical engineer whose thesis was on flow dynamics. Let's get him involved in this and see what we can create. This could be fun. Then he takes me out in the garage and he says, I want you to take a hold of this bottle of water. It's just a regular bottle of water out of a store. But he had done something to it. He said, hold it in your left hand. He unscrewed the cap. He said, now take your little finger and stick it in the water. And I did, and it shocked the tar out of me. Shocked the tar out of me. If there's a scientist on this line, I drove home and I stopped by my son's house. It was around the corner down there. I said, Danny, what is this? What has he done? He says, I don't know. Water's a natural insulator. It's not supposed to conduct electricity. But every 15 minutes, a new charge is built up in this water, and you can drink it. You just want to discharge it before you drink it. But it shocks you. He had a 4x4 piece of material that had tape over it, so I couldn't see what it was. He put a very strong magnet from a hard drive on one side, the other side a bolt, and it would hold it. Now he would reverse and put the magnet on the other side, and it wouldn't. The physicists up here at Weber State are confused as heck at how he did that. It's not supposed to happen. But everything that's underneath that tape, he got at a Home Depot store. These are laws. Sometimes we don't understand them, but the fact we don't understand them doesn't negate their reality. I was asked today by a wonderful gentleman if we teach mind control, if there's some hypnosis in intrinsic validation or some mystical technique that takes away free will and free agency from people. And I said, no. What we are applying are true principles that seem to create something magnificent in a human being. Dan Goldman addressed this. Dan is from Harvard. He wrote Emotional Intelligence in one of his greatest books. I just love the book called Social Intelligence. And he tells us in that book that physiologically human beings are designed to connect. We are built to connect with one another, and we've never lived in a more disconnected society. So all we're doing with intrinsic validation is bringing to bear all the natural laws, all the natural physics and physiology, and it creates something that feels like a miracle. But it's just true principles. I'm going to do my very best tonight to set this up just a little differently than I did last week, to add some depth and some understanding. We know everybody's got a wall built up from hate and suspicion. Everybody's protecting themselves. We know that we can take down that wall with empathy, which is our life experience. Remember last week we talked about the Chicago dream and dragging that sack behind us filled with all of our failures and frustrations and disappointments and discouragement. We take everything out of that sack, we engrave it on our heart so we're no longer a victim dragging around the sack. We now are owning our life. This is my life. Now I am prepared to show up in service to others, uniquely prepared. Some awful things have happened to me. I know what awful feels like. I can now look into the eyes of another person and feel when someone's feeling awful. That's empathy. Intuition is guiding this gut feeling. Intuition is not a script. Now, we're teaching the seven principles of intrinsic validation. These are not techniques. They're just to help us get on the correct path so that we can experience the miraculous when we're connecting. They're just guidelines. And the first guideline was that we want to notice what's important to another person. Notice what's important. What that means, because on a piece of paper, I just want you to draw a line, a vertical line down the middle. On the left-hand side, write notice. On the right-hand side, write feel. So the very first thing on the left side, we want to notice another person. The truth is, many of us are so consumed with our own pain, our own frustration, our own overwhelm, we really don't truly notice another person. Now, there is an exercise in the material called the red flag, green flag game. It's a very simple game. It's to help us start to notice people. Red flags are all the things that are wrong or bad. Green flags are all the things that are good. And the exercise is for 1 week, regardless of what you do for a living, no matter what it is, for 1 week, all you're going to notice is the good in people. You're going to notice what's important to them. They pull up in a 10-year-old car. You may not want a 10-year-old car, but you'll notice how important that car is to them. It's been purchased. Oh, my goodness, what were they driving before? How excited are they to drive this car? You will notice. You'll notice the hair. You'll notice the beard. You'll notice their tattoos. You'll notice their performance. You'll know all the good things that they do. You'll notice, even if they're things they're supposed to be doing anyway. We're going to notice. I tell a story in the material. True story. Salesperson in San Francisco. This woman was just brilliant. Medical device salesperson. Had her play red flags, green flags. The next week, she got on the personal coaching session, and she says, Dave, I am PO'd. Everybody knows what that means. And I said, well, tell me more. She said, well, I played the game, and for the first couple of days, it was fun. It was fun. Looking for the good in people and then verbalizing it. Looking for the good and verbalizing. Seeing what's important and verbalizing it. I said, what happened the third day? And she said, there's just so much red. And she learned a great secret. She did notice people, but only what was wrong with them. Too tall, too short. Too bald, too much hair. Too much, too little of something. She had been spending her life in judgment. Same thing I discovered years early when I practiced Ogg's admonition. That when you meet somebody for the first time, silently and to yourself, you say, I love you. And all kinds of magical things happen. It shows up on our face. A person sees it. They feel it. They feel more comfortable. Now, we can walk through the mirror neuron discussion again tonight. I think we'll avoid that. Those of you who didn't hear it, make sure that you have a chance to hear last week's call. There are some physiological things happening that put people at ease when we show up truly focused on loving them, respecting them, honoring their right to be on this planet. So the first step in intrinsic validation isn't asking questions. It's noticing that they're a human being. It's noticing if you happen to be in sales, that before they walked into this door, they have a life. They wasn't beam me down, Scotty. They didn't just appear at the front door and walk in. They walked across the parking lot. Before that, they drove in a car. They came from someplace to here. Things are going on in their lives. There is a reason why they've come to see you. What is it? What's going on? If you care enough to find out, you will be able to serve them at a very high level. Can you notice this person? They're a human being. Most of us are so consumed in, I need to make a commission, or I need to make a sale, or don't be offended by that. It's just human nature. We're so focused on our side of the equation, we don't notice their side. And intrinsic validation is saying, let us practice the art of connection, which starts by noticing. This isn't a technique. It's just noticing. Think about that. Practicing this isn't like practicing the techniques of how to play a violin. It's just showing up. In this particular exercise, all we're doing is letting go of us. It's not about us anymore. And we let go a little bit of us, we see more of them. We let a little bit more of us, and we see even more of them. We let all of us go, and we see all of them. That's what we're practicing. We're practicing letting go of us. Our whining and complaining and victimhood and worry and fear and frustration and overwhelm. We're letting go of all of those pieces so that we can be whole and complete, so that we don't need to think about us. All of our thinking can be about them. That's what we're practicing. Just letting go of us. So the first two principles in intrinsic validation, notice and verbalize. Be prepared that when you start verbalizing, you might feel a little awkward, like you're being phony or fake. As I mentioned last week, it is not about phony and fake. It's about finally being aware. That's what happens. If we haven't been aware, we feel uncomfortable doing this. Like, am I making this stuff up? Or is this really real? Or what am I doing here? Am I trying to sweet talk them? No. You're finally noticing them. And they will eat it up. We love to be noticed and recognized, appreciated and valued. We hunger for it. Everyone does. The guys and gals who show up doing this are so rare. It's the key to success in all ventures. So the first two principles, just noticing. Now, that's when we start to cross this line in the middle. From just noticing to feeling. Now, in the feeling section, I want you to write the word care. Caring. It is a glorious day. If you have a committed companion and you're sitting there in the bathroom looking in the mirror at yourself, and you come to the realization, the awareness, that you really do love them. It's not just words that are spoken as part of intimacy. You really do feel for them, think about them, pray for them, hurt with them, suffer with them. You really do care. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing. It's been my experience that there are many who go through a lifetime without having that experience with another human being. Oh, what a tragedy. This is graduate connection, from just noticing to finally feeling. Dan Goldman talks about it as bridging the bone-skin barrier. He says we are designed as human beings, as a consummate scientist. He says we're designed as human beings to be able to feel what someone else is feeling. They even train psychotherapists to do this. They are trained to feel what someone else is feeling, because the belief is this: if they can feel what it feels like with their training, they can come up with the very best solution to solve the problem. That's interesting. Now, we're not training to be psychoanalysts, but as human beings, we're quite capable of feeling what another's feeling. That starts by actually starting to care about them. And we start doing that by listening. This is a very different kind of listening. We're listening for doors. Step number three. We're listening for doors. Those are verbal hints about what someone is thinking or experiencing. Verbal hints. We telescope as human beings. We kind of send out these little messages. I don't think we even do it consciously. And we say, oh, I had a bad day. And someone else says, yeah, I had a bad day too. Well, it's wonderful when we have one of us there and they say, I had a bad day, and we say, oh, share with me what happened. And we step into their world because we care about them. It's not just about us. They opened a door and we stepped in. Now that we're in their world, we start to listen. Now, when we talk about practicing this art form of intrinsic validation at this level, I want to emphasize this so strongly tonight, because so many say, Dave, you got like a PhD in intrinsic validation. That's not true. Only a couple blocks ahead, maybe, is somewhere to starting. What we can do when we're conscious enough is, again, let go of us. That's why we say that when you step into this person's world, if you can imagine in your right hand, your baggage, all those negative and harmful thought processes we all have, and your left hand, your agenda, those things you want to sell and promote and tell them about, and you leave them at the door, and you walk in free and unencumbered by those things. You're now in their world. You're no longer listening to find solutions or things that need to be fixed, or listening so that you can respond or answer a question. Write this down on the right-hand side. You're now listening for understanding. Listening for understanding. Now, the more free you can be from your self-defeating thought processes, the more free you can be from your agenda, the more free you are to just listen for understanding. See, the questions you ask when you're in this space cannot be rehearsed nor scripted. They are born out of listening for understanding. They come from what you discover in the moment. Everybody have that? The questions we ask are not scripted. Nor can I train you what to ask. What I want to train you to do is listen for understanding, to be fully present for them with your baggage and agenda gone. Listening to truly step into their world and get a feeling for what it's like to be in their shoes. And every question we ask is to get a better and richer understanding of where they are. That's it. That's the art form. Caring enough about another person to let go of you, your baggage, and your agenda, so that you can show up just to listen, to understand where they are. Now, I can tell you that when we do this one thing, Og says we can melt all hearts like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. Not some hearts, but all hearts. Wow. So the better we get at leaving our agenda and baggage at the door and showing up whole and complete, so we don't have to make it about us. We're okay. Now I can make it totally about them. Listen for this understanding. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. And when that happened, what did you do next? Well, you said that you wanted to build a cabin. Well, tell me what that cabin would look like. Or you wanted to send children to school. Do you have an idea which school you'd like to send them to? Ah, okay. I'm starting to get a feel for what it's like to be in this person's world. What's it like to be in there? It's like being a fly on the wall and getting to really understand them. And when they know that we know where they are, and we did not need to fix them, give them advice, correct them, give them the right to be on this planet just the way they are. We don't have to agree with them. We may be diabolically opposed religiously, politically, socially. We could be. It's not the point. That baggage was left at the door, remember? We're showing up for them. And when we have created a safe place. So on the right-hand side of that column, write safe place. Safe place. And when that safe place has been established, there is no need for a wall. That's what brings the wall down. You're now safe. Once you've created that safety, you want to be hyper-vigilant that you don't do anything to destroy it. For some, it was difficult to create. For those we're listening to, sometimes it's difficult to trust. And if they finally give you their trust, because you truly showed up in their service, let us be careful as we move forward now at these steps of intrinsic validation that we do not violate that trust. So let's move forward. We've created a safe place. That's step number four. The wall's coming down. We now understand. Now, if you're a salesperson, let me give you an example. I was sharing this with a client this morning that works at a Mercedes dealership. And he said, well, help me understand how this would work. I said, okay, first of all, a client pulls up in a car. In today's economy, how many people are going to pull up and write out a check for $65,000 and drive away with a new Mercedes or $85,000 or $120,000, whatever it is? How many people coming up just want to see what one looks like? They're a little nervous because they've got to act like it's, you know, they're the big guy, you know, the big shot. They can handle it. They can do it. They just want to, they've talked themselves into finally coming down to look. What is their motivation for being here? Are they ready to buy a car? Are they dreaming about what it's going to be like to own this car? Have they had another friend who's had this car or had a great service from this dealership? What is their motivation? I said, can you imagine meeting this person? Hi, my name's John. What's your first name? Bill. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the Mercedes dealership. Is there a specific model that you would like to look at? Oh, what is it about that model that you like? Have you ever had a chance to sit in one of those? Oh, come here. Let me have you sit in this. And you have them sit down, and you sit down on the other side. Now, don't you love that sound when the door closes? I want to tell you a story. This would be my story. I'm driving down Highway 8 in San Diego. It's raining. The sun comes out, and there's a rainbow that comes right across the freeway and goes right into the parking lot, this trucking company. I mean, you just see it right there, and everybody's staring at it. And all of a sudden, somebody slammed on their brakes in front of us, and cars went everywhere. Everybody had a place to go but me. I hit a lady so hard, she went flying off the edge of the freeway. leaped out of the car, went down to make sure she's okay. She just rolled down and hit the front bumper. But it was a Ford, and you know what? She couldn't get her glove compartment open to get out her registration. The front of my car, right side, was smashed in, and I could still open my passenger door. You may never get hit like that, but if someone came over and hit you broadside, and it's your ribs and that bumper, what do you want in between you? Because the most important feature in this car is safety. Now, that kind of conversation could occur if this person's ever had an accident or has concerns about safety. Then you talk about the quality in the car. When somebody leaves that dealership, you either want them ready to buy a car, absolutely committed that this is the only car they would ever want to buy if they bought a new one, and everything about their thought process is trying to figure out how to get it. What was a luxury when they came in is a necessity when they leave. That's how I feel about great cars. They don't buy them just because they're pretty. These cars are well engineered. The question is, when you stepped into someone's world and found out all the things about them, and you know why they're there, and you know what's important to them, it's time to share those stories. It's time to tell them about the car. It's time to tell them about how this could serve them. The question becomes this, and this is a difficult phase in intrinsic validation, especially for a salesperson. And I'm going to be very careful what I say tonight, but you want to make absolutely sure that what you are selling, whether it's product or friendship, that it's worthy of another person taking it on, loving it, buying it, using it. Because you don't want to sell something that isn't going to bless a life. This life is just too short to engage in something for the purpose of making money that doesn't bless another person's life. This is a tough thing to do. If you don't have an absolute personal, visceral, emotional attachment to what you're selling, then get one. And if you can't get one, get out. It's that simple. Because to find out all the needs of this person, then ask them to engage in something that would be harmful, is really tragic. Now, in the material, I talk about the dream I had one night. I sometimes learn things in dreams. You know, all the stuff and study and writing all kind of comes together in the middle of the night and it starts to make sense. I'm not going to tell you the dream tonight, but I'm just going to tell you that when you're as committed to that product, it would be what you would do in that circumstance. With that set of circumstances, in that life, with that challenge, this is what I would do. And you know in your heart of hearts, not something you're just trying to convince yourself, you know in your heart of hearts, that's what you would do. There is an energy that comes with the presentation that cannot be denied. It's picked up by their mirror neurons. There's a physiological connection. They can feel what you're feeling. It puts them at ease. They will listen more. There's a possibility they actually do what you recommend, but you must make sure that what you're presenting is truly in their best interest. Simply stated. Now, if it is, the only other question that needs to be asked is this the right time to share it? Is this the time? Have I said enough for today? Should I reset another appointment? Get together at another time? If I feel a sense of urgency, then the question is this because they are in an urgent need or because I'm in an urgent need? Am I doing this because I need it? We always do it to bless the person. If you get the impression it's time to proceed, then proceed. Trust your intuition if you're really truly there to serve them. If you get the impression to do it tomorrow or another time, then do that. Follow your intuition. If you come back tomorrow, you just start with the same conversation all over again. Since we talked yesterday, what has been on your mind? Well, tell me more about that. And we step right back into their world again and create a safe place so they know that we know where they are right now before we begin to share. So now we're assuming we've reached that point. It's time to share. When it's time to share, we want to gain agreement. It's the last step, step number 7. Now it's time to tell your story. You know, the accident in the car, whatever it might be. And you're only going to share stories that will serve them. Because sometimes we want to tell things that serve us. We oversell. We say too much. This isn't a game. It's just an honoring of the person. We're here to serve them. Remember we shared last week, you don't tell your story immediately when they tell a cool one, you tell a cooler one. You wait till the 7th step, you've gained agreement. May I share with you some ideas? If they say no, you honor their request and ask if there would be a better time to do so. If not, part friends. You built a bridge. They know that you know where they are. You've been safe, and you continue to be safe. It may not be the time. There are some professions, such as network marketing and direct sales, where people don't really have a burning desire right now for a change, even though they may need one. But a few months from now may be perfect timing. So we wait for the perfect time to bless their life. That time will come. 90 days from now, you'll need a new prospect and you'll need a new customer. You will. So you just got one lined up for when they're ready. You have hundreds and hundreds of those people and your business will grow really quickly. And they'll be coming in at the right time and you won't be herding cats from people who are disillusioned and discouraged and dropping out of your business. Just for an example. So now we begin to share. And again, we share just what they need to know to meet their needs. Now what happens? What happens when we've taken the time to really understand where they are? And we're now sharing what we believe, based on what we've learned, something that would bless their lives, and an objection is raised. How many of you on the phone have heard the statement, answers to objections? Answers to objections. I have rarely heard an objection stated as a question that demands an answer. But somehow we are so presumptuous that we're going to answer a statement. And it's like slapping someone and saying, look, what you're saying really isn't that important. Let me dismiss it with the following 3 statements and let's get back on track to the close of this sale. An intrinsic validator doesn't do that. An intrinsic validator, when an objection is raised, they simply ask a question and step back into the person's world. Someone says, you know, if you're in a business of recruiting people, for an example, they say, I'm just not a salesperson. I just can't sell. Think about all the answers to objections that you've heard people give in the industry, in the profession of multi-level marketing and network marketing. Think of all those answers to objections about it's not selling, it's serving, da-da-da-da, blah-blah-blah, throw up all over the wall. If you have taken down their wall and created a safe place, you just ruined all the work you've done. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is ask a question. Well, share with me more about your experience. Oh, I tried that once, and tell me more about that experience. Okay. Yeah, I bought a garage full of inventory and recruited my favorite uncle and worked my tail off for 3 years and just was starting to see some light, and the company went bankrupt and I lost my business and my uncle ended up losing his house. Was your uncle on your side or your wife's side? It's my wife's uncle. What have family reunions been like for you? Well, most of the time I try to avoid them. Kind of pressure does that put on your wife? She gets frustrated with me. Well, what were you going to do with that money that you're going to make? How much did you hope you could make? What was the highest amount you ever imagined making? Well, I'd hope to get to $10,000 a month. Did you have a plan of what you're going to do with it? Well, yeah. Well, would you share it with me? Yeah, I wanted to buy this or buy that. Send a child to college, get a cabin, buy a boat. Boat? What kind of boat were you interested in? Ah. Now, you're an interesting person if you know a little bit about some things, because you can carry on a conversation with them. Did you ever get it? No. And on goes the conversation. So you feel uncomfortable selling other people. Yes. What's the experience been like talking to me? It's been pretty peaceful. Could you see yourself talking to people the way I'm talking to you? We'd like to show you how to do that. You see, in our company, we honor people. We don't sell them. We want to meet their needs. How long have you been hanging on to this anxiety or fear? It's been 8 years. How much longer do you want to hang on to it? I don't know. Is today the day to finally let it go? This isn't manipulation. This is a conversation. This is someone standing up for someone and loving them enough to find out what's really eating them up. Behind every objection is a story. Learn the story. You'll know the answer. Spend the time. Intrinsic validation is not linear. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's my turn to speak. Shut up. I'm going to do my part and get you to the close. That's not the way it works. Objections raised, we step right back into their world. If they think this is a scam, we step into their world. If they think this is something they can't do, we find out why they have that experience, how they feel about it, what created that. We're talking to someone about an automobile. Is this a stretch for you? How big of a stretch is it? Would it be possible for you to maybe look at a certified used vehicle? Or, you know, I've got another couch in the store that looks terrific, and it's got a hard wood frame, and it might be a great place to start. Or, perhaps this could be financed. We do our own in-house financing. Or, if we really are there to serve, how can we assist them in getting that which they want, being able to afford it and buy it? When someone cares enough, we talked a little bit about this last week, of meeting someone at the door, showing up to really serve them. Are you looking for a specialty item? Are you looking for a really killer deal on something, one item in the store? Is it a chair you're looking for? Where does it go in the house? What's the color scheme? If you're an insurance agent, we don't make them lie on a couch and put a sheet over them and have their wife look at a dead body to sell the insurance. We find out why it was important for them to set this meeting in the first place. Perhaps we tell a story of someone we've known who's lost a spouse prematurely, who had insurance and the blessing it was in their life, and help them feel what that would be like, genuinely, not to manipulate. That's the seventh step of intrinsic validation. We probably will have to ask for a check if we're a salesperson. People usually don't just say, okay, let's sign up. Are you ready? Are you ready to move forward? Because in the material we talk about a close, it's not a close. There's no such thing as closing a sale. But there is beginning a relationship. Because everything to this point is finding out whether we're going to have one or not. That's all. Are we going to have a relationship working with this product? If we are, then let us begin that relationship. This is where we will begin. And everything is a beginning. If you truly care about that person, because you've listened, you found their needs, you now provide them with a solution, and you're going to help them implement that in their life. It's a great way to live. I want to take you one more place tonight. So on the left-hand side, it's about noticing. Notice the good. Notice what's important. You'll discover when you spend time here, especially with children, that when we point out what's good, it motivates them to be even better. When we do our couples retreats, the very first day in the summer, we put spouses in a side-by-side 4x4. It's called a razor. And it has a bar in the passenger seat. They call it an OS bar. You can imagine what that's for. And the husbands hang on to it. The wives drive first. And we put them through a pretty grueling exercise that challenges even their anxiety and scares the death out of a husband. We also instruct the husband that during this ride, I want them reflecting on everything they love about their wife, their companion, and that they can say nothing verbally other than to compliment them. Now, I can tell you, when they're going up a really steep hill and they hit a rock, this guy wants to say, you just hit a rock. And it's like the wife goes, duh, that's what it was. I didn't know that. We know when we hit rocks. We know when we haven't done our job completely. We know that. Nobody need point it out. If we can focus on the good pieces, that doesn't mean we never have discussions to instruct and train and help someone improve. But if we focus on the good, the rest will correct itself. For some who have been in our couples retreat, it's the first time they've been in a situation like that where they weren't directing, turn left, turn right, move, who in between. They can't do any of that. Nice job, sweetheart. You really chose a great path through those rocks. You got wives going, man, this is so cool. Can you talk to me like that all the time, please? Let us notice the good. Let us notice what's important to another person. Then let's begin the process of feeling, which we start by caring, by listening for understanding, until they know that we know where they are and we didn't need to fix them. Let us then analyze those things we would like to share to see if they're of value. Would we do it ourselves? Is this the right time? Then gain agreement and share. Objections come up, we step right back into their world and ask questions. We don't give answers to objections. Objections aren't questions that demand an answer. They're a statement that demands a question. Create a safe place again. And at the end of that situation, you will most likely have to ask them if they're ready to begin. That's intrinsic validation. Now, I mentioned in the beginning, the water, you can stick your finger in and it shocks you. Wow, that's not supposed to happen. It's like counter to everything in physics. Well, caring about people and stepping into their world is sometimes counter to everything about we're taught in the world. It is about me. It's about me getting and you losing. It's about me winning and you losing. That's kind of how we sometimes play the game. We look at magazines and we see beautiful people, successful people, and that's the standard for living. We get caught up in how people look and not who they are. And now we have a chance to get behind all of that and truly connect with another human being. Well, when we do this, we're doing something extraordinary. We are creating a partnership with a power greater than ourselves that is very real. It's a power that governs the universe, governs abundance, whose mission it is to bless people and bring them joy. And all of a sudden, we're focused on the same mission, stepping into someone's world, truly listening for understanding, caring, serving, lifting, building, validating. We're now in the same business. What you'll begin to find is some very miraculous moments when you feel inspired to say some things that are beyond your own understanding. You are now in the service of a great power. You will, as we go into next week, one of the great ways we use our mind is to seek inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path, and I will serve them. You can be inspired to know things beyond your own ability when you truly are in service of another person. And when this occurs, when you get an inspired thought and you act on it and it's validated, you begin to trust that power. And very literally, it begins to trust you. And those experiences can become richer and deeper and more tender and powerful. So not only are we letting go of our selfishness and our frustration and focus on us, not only are we starting to be whole and complete to focus on them, part of the reason why we become increasingly whole as we do this is because we become increasingly aware of who we really are and the relationship we have with that power. This is a glorious and powerful piece because it's one of the single greatest reasons, or ways I should say, to heal self-esteem. When we know that we are known, when we know that we are trusted, and when we trust, it's the ultimate medicine to heal self-esteem. It's the ultimate. We'll learn some others as we go into next week about using our mind constructively, and the week after that, being in passion-driven action and the things that happen when we're in that space. But this is how we heal our self-esteem. There's a journey because some of us have been injured, really injured in life. And so it's hard to let go of us, put our baggage at the door, our agenda at the door. It's hard to sometimes focus and notice someone. Don't be impatient, because every move in this direction creates a more and more unique person. I asked this question last week when we started. When was the last time someone cared enough about you to step into your world and truly listen to understand you without needing to fix you? When's the last time that happened? For most, it's extremely rare, if ever. And our commitment starting tonight is to become rare. And the more we can let go of our baggage and our agenda and show up more and more whole and complete, which is a process that comes through practicing these principles, the more effective we become. But just know that no matter how poorly you do it at first, no matter how poorly, it's most likely the best they have ever experienced, ever. As we learn, oh, I wish I'd have said, or I wish I would have asked, don't go there. Just do it next time. And you'll get better and better, feel more and more comfortable. And it's not because you're better at asking questions. You're getting better at letting go of you so that you're more whole and more complete, so that as you listen, your intuition can give you the questions. Empathy, your life experiences can help you get the questions. They come out of the listening. Again, they're not scripted. They come out of the listening. So the mission is to practice letting go of you. We do that by noticing and by feeling and caring, listening for understanding. And we do so consciously in partnership with a power greater than ourselves, who can speed up our experience. Speed up our experience. It's about surrendering. It's not about technique. You're not mastering a technique. You're mastering a willingness to surrender your stuff. Showing up magnificent and whole. Because when we are totally available to serve another human being. Your assignment this week. Your assignment is to read scroll number 2. I'll greet this day with love in my heart. That's agape love. That's a Greek word. Greek for a feeling, a heightened level of awareness, consciousness. If you be so bold as to see people the way this power that governs abundance sees people. It'll be a while before we get to that level. But imagine being able to see them with that kind of clarity and unconditional love. How peaceful and safe could we create those moments? Can you imagine? So read that. And every time you read agape, read this day with love, agape love, a heightened level of awareness. For this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. Yes, muscle can split a shield and destroy life. But only the unseen power, got that? Unseen power of love, agape love, this connection between human beings, seeing them the way God sees them, only this opens their heart. And until I master this art, how do I master it again? I let go of me. Until I master this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. I'm peddling my wares. I will make this my greatest weapon, and none on whom I call can defend against its force. He goes on to say, I can melt all hearts like into the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. Read this scroll. Practice the red flag, green flag game. See how many days you can focus on just what's good or what's important. Listen for those doors and just consciously let go of all your stuff and lean into the conversation. Put yourself into their world and their shoes and see what you can hear. And see what questions come. If they're not coming, you don't yet understand, because when you do, the question will come. That's how you know you understand. Questions there. Oh, tell me more about this. Help me understand this a little bit better. To see how well you can do this for a week. Because next week, we're going to go into how we use our mind destructively to keep us from doing this at all, and how we can use our mind constructively to help support us in this process to take it even to a higher level. So be prepared for that next week. Thanks, everybody. And again, we welcome those guests who came here tonight. Get back to the affiliate or coach who invited you. Get these principles into your life. Get our home study program. Join us here on Tuesday nights. Coach with one of our coaches. And find the joy that comes from creating these fundamental truths in your life. This is what creates success. And the lack of it facilitates misery, failure, mediocrity. It is time. We don't have a minute to waste. Not in this economy. Let us serve you. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great week. And we will see you next Tuesday night. Thank you.